You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Well, great to have you in the room today, folks. You're at our third service of the day. We've had a great day in church so far. Let me tell you, we've had 8 people make decisions to follow Jesus so far today in one day, which I think is the most ever in a single regular Sunday so far. And I've got faith today for more people. So, hey, if you don't know Jesus yet, by the end of the service, you probably will. If today's anything to go by. But we're kicking off a brand new series, and look, how we've pitched it in the last 2 services is the same way we're going to do it here, is we're going to get straight in. We're going to do business. We're going to encounter God together at the end of the service, and I'll let you know a little bit more about what that looks like soon. But our new series is called On Display. Everybody say display. Display. And the whole crux of this series is we're talking about mission, but we realize that in our term of mission, which is what this is, that we need to be a people that display the extraordinary God. And so what we'd love you to believe for and pray for is that people in your world will come to know Jesus, they'll come to church this term, because your life is such that is displaying the goodness of God, the power of God, and the grace of God. And to help you do that, we've got a little card on your seats. You might have to spend a moment trying to locate where that is. But it's got On Display on one side, and the other side is space for 3 names. And the reason why it's small is that it could fit in your purse or in your wallet, that you, over the next couple of weeks and months, can write some people's names down that you're going to commit to pray for and believe for, because we know that our prayers start to shift things, don't we? So you can take that home. You don't need to do that now. But the crux of this series is anchored in this one verse from Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says this: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will then be my witnesses to Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And so what we've realized at the start when we were thinking about this series is that we want it to be a missional series, but in order to do that, we've got to first understand as a church that we first got to receive the power of the Holy Spirit in order to be a witness. This is literally what Acts 1 verse 8 on our Sky Bible on the screen coming up says this, these words: "You will receive power," jump a couple of lines, "and then you will be my witnesses." So really, I'm going to tell you the end at the beginning. Today, we're going to spend time encountering God to be filled with his power in order to be his witnesses. Does that sound good, 12:30? Come on, you've had your lunch, you've laid in, and you've got an extra lie-in because we got an extra hour in bed, didn't we? Praise the Lord for that. And all the parents said amen. Well, think with me for a moment as we kick this thing off. I want you to think and picture a time in your life where you've just not had the very thing that you've needed in order to take the next step. Let me phrase it like this. When you arrive at the door and you try and look for your keys to get in the house and you realize that you've lost your keys, you want to get into the house, but the very thing that you need to get in, you don't in fact possess or you don't have. I think back to my Irish nanny. Irish nannies are a sight to behold, let me tell you about this. She's still alive, she's coming up on 80 quite soon, and she's awesome. She does this thing Irish nannies, they do, where they will want to give you a gift or some money, but instead of just giving you the money like a normal person, they're squeezing their hands so tight that King Charles on the note is literally crying, and she'll force it into your hand because she doesn't want anyone else in the room to know that she's giving you money. Even though in the act of forcing the fist into your hand, everybody knows they're trying to give you money. It's a weird thing that Irish nannies do. Might not just be Irish nannies, might be all grandparents, perhaps. Now, my Irish nanny, a long time ago, she used to be a fast driver. Let me tell you, you would hear my nanny before you would see her. My friends used to laugh all the time when she came to pick us up from football. We'd literally all be hanging out, waiting for her to pick us up. And in the distance, all you would hear is as her wheels would literally wheel spin coming around the corners to get us. In this tiny, low Citroen Saxo Blue, it was so low to the ground that she would just drift around the corners as she took them. She was so fast. But then, one day, my nanny, as she was driving out to the country, she was coming over this hill in a 30-mile-an-hour zone. Let me tell you, she was doing anything but 30 miles an hour. And in the distance, there was a speed camera. Everybody say, oh, speed camera that catches my nanny, that pulls her over. And from that moment on, my nanny went slow everywhere we went. In fact, my granny would never put the car in fifth gear, would always stay in fourth gear. And I would ask her, Granny, why aren't you putting the car into fifth gear? I can hear the revs from the car crying for the gear to shift. And she'd say to me, Lee, I don't believe in fifth gear anymore. I said, Nanny, it's not a matter of faith. The fifth gear is there. Put it in fifth gear. Thus was my nanny. She went slow everywhere she went. And from that moment on, I effectively, church, lost my transport to anywhere I needed to go. I used to be able to get to Belfast in 20 minutes, but now with my nanny, it would be an hour's trip as we would take the country roads. So much so, I said, thanks, nanny, but I'll just catch the bus. And thus my entitled 15-year-old self decided to get the bus instead of catching a lift by my very kind, gracious nanny. But from that moment on, for me, it felt like I had lost my mode of transport. I had lost my lift, that when I wanted to go to hockey or Belfast or school or see my mates, it would take forever to get to. Felt like I had lost the very thing that I needed at that time in my life. Now, what really winds me up, a pet peeve of mine actually now, is when your phone runs out of battery. Can I get a witness in the room? What is even worse is when you put your phone on charge before you go to bed and you wake up in the morning and the phone has not charged. Oh, come on now. And then you spend the whole rest of the day fighting through a phone that is operating on low battery mode. It's awful, isn't it? But the reality was for me, the times that this happens is less about the phone, less about the charger, and it's because old Nuggins here has forgotten to flick the switch on the wall. And so my phone is connected, but it's not charging. I think in 2025, this is like many Christians. Not you guys, maybe the 9 o'clock, you guys are perfect, but many Christians live their lives connected, but not charging, and so then operate on low battery, low power mode, rejecting the role of the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, this isn't a new thing, is it? Because in 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, the Apostle Paul writes this to Timothy about a group of people who have the form of godliness but deny its power. In other words, they're Christians, they've encountered God, their lives have been changed, but they don't exhibit or demonstrate or live out the power of God. And so today, 12:30, we are in danger of becoming Christians who have a form of godliness but deny the power. We are in danger today of being religious Christians who sign up for the 12 o'clock service. We get our seat in church, but then we go home and live a very normal life that's absent of the power of God. Or maybe we're in danger of being social Christians. We're great at relationships. We're epic at small groups. We're awesome at having people around for dinner. But when it comes to living in the power of God, it is absent from our life. Maybe today we're in danger of being good works Christians. We are on team, we serve, we give, but our lives are absent of the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we are connected, but not charging. What I had forgotten to do with my phone was flick the switch. And so today, church, I want you to catch this revelation that if we are going to change this nation for God, each and every single one of us in this place has to flick the switch. I refuse to be somebody who's connected but not charging. And so today I want to suggest three things to us, three reasons why God sent the Holy Spirit And the first one is this, and we've touched on it already, so that we can receive his power. Turn to your neighbor and say, power. Come on, say it with a little bit of Bruce Almighty. Say, power.
Power.
There we go. That's great. John 14, Jesus is speaking in verse 26. And we know when Jesus is speaking, we got to listen up. Jesus says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Jesus is talking here about the Holy Spirit that is sent to us as a helper. Then the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 5, verse 18, he says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, why is it, church, that in 2025, we're great with Father God, we're great with Jesus' Son, but we struggle with the Holy Spirit? We love the Father, don't we? Father God, man, we love him. Love that part of God. Arms wide open, created the universe, sent his Son, loves us so immeasurably deeply. We have no issues with a good and loving Father, do we? And then Jesus' Son, oh, we love Jesus. God, fully man, came to earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, but then was risen to life and appeared to many. We have no problem with Jesus. But then when it comes to the Holy Spirit, for some reason, we're happy and content to dismiss this part of the Godhead when Jesus himself is telling us, you need a helper, the Holy Spirit, God, who I will send in form of a spirit, and he will give you power. He will give you everything you need to fulfill your calling. Why is that? Why is it we are so spooked by the Holy Spirit? I want you to know that the world isn't spooked out by the Holy Spirit, but for some reason Christians are. The world is searching for an encounter that is out of this world. Let me tell you about Gen Z. I was at a conference this week, and people were sharing all these stories about Gen Z, and we have some of them in the room as well. Incredible miracles where God is speaking to people by his Spirit in their workplace. They're feeling his presence. People are having dreams of a white figure in the dream and showing up to church. This is literally happening in every single church right now. Regardless of style, lights or no lights, denomination, no denomination, whatever creed, God by his Spirit is moving throughout the UK and people are getting radically saved. So church, I want to encourage you. That's awesome. But we can't allow the world to get a better encounter of God out there than they could in here. Because my Bible says the Holy Spirit lives in me. And therefore, because he lives in me, he should be shown through me. Now, let me tell you about this power that he's given us. The word in Acts 1 verse 8, the word power comes from the Greek word dunamis. That's the root word here where we translate our English word dynamite. The word dunamis is used 120 times in the New Testament, and it always refers to power, explosive strength, miracles. In other words, we've been given a power that is like explosive dynamite to be agents of change and transformation in our world. And this is how it happens in Acts 8, verse 15. It gives us this account. It says, when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they may receive the Holy Spirit, because they had not yet received him. And they had simply only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. We love Baptism Sunday. It's coming right up. It's going to be awesome. Verse 17, then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Spirit. When I was 17 years old, I was at a youth camp, and I was in a tent with my friends at 2 a.m. in the morning. The session had long finished, but we were hungry for God. We wanted more of God. And so we were praying for one another that we might receive a filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I had been a Christian for 8 months at the time. I was walking the walk. I was loving Jesus. But I hadn't yet experienced what life could look like through encountering and receiving the Holy Spirit. So as they prayed for me, I remember feeling this like electricity through my body. It felt like a tingling sensation of fire, and my whole face was tingly and my lips were tingly. It just felt like they were on fire. And as they prayed for me, I had a vision of a nation that I didn't really know much about at that time, something that God was speaking to me about. And as they prayed for me, I began to pray. And as I opened up my mouth, I began to speak in tongues for the first time. And let me tell you what happened. Something supernatural was taking place in my life that as I spoke in tongues, I felt this electricity, this strength, this building up of my inner man, my spirit, like never before, as they laid their hands on me and prayed. Now, this isn't just for me, for a little Northern Irish lad in Northern Ireland. Acts 2, verse 17 says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men see visions. Old men dream dreams. This isn't just for those that have it all together. This isn't for a certain social class, wealth status, background, position in society. This isn't just for the good Christians who've been a Christian 30 years. This isn't just for the young people who've got zeal and passion. For all people. But for some reason, we have delegated the Holy Spirit to the young people, to somebody else, because that's good for them, but I don't need the Holy Spirit. Church, you need the power of the Holy Spirit, because I know when you go into work tomorrow, you need a confidence that doesn't come from yourself, but that comes from God. I know that where your body's sick, you need faith to persevere like never before. I know today, some of you need a word of knowledge from someone else in this room that won't just change tomorrow, but will change next year. I know some of you need to start speaking in tongues to build up your spirit in spite of challenge. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. People ask me all the time, Pastor Lee, what's our church's viewpoint on the end times? What do we believe about the end times? And I always say this. I say, well, this is our belief. We've never been closer. That's as much as we know. Bible says the last days, he will pour out his spirit. There is a touch from God for you today that wasn't just for the 9 a.m., wasn't just for the 10:30 a.m., but is for the 12:30 p.m. But in order to encounter God, the Holy Spirit, you've got to flick the switch. The second reason the Holy Spirit is sent to us, after power comes purpose. Purpose. Somebody say purpose. Acts 1 verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you will be my witnesses. After we receive the Spirit's power, we then have purpose, because the purpose of the power is to be a witness. Francis Chan says it like this, and I think this is the reality for a lot of the church right now. He says, if I were Satan, and my ultimate goal was to thwart God's kingdom and purposes, one of my main strategies would be to get churchgoers to ignore the Holy Spirit. The power of God, experiencing him in a supernatural way, isn't just for the Holy Spirit goosebumps on a Sunday, isn't just for a nice experience here at church, isn't just to make us feel elated and to feel good. Church, the experience is for a demonstration that we've got to take what we experience here and display and demonstrate who God is and what he does to our city and our world. From the power, we get our purpose. We've been given the purpose. It's obvious. It's written down to be witnesses. That's why we've got the missions cards with our friends this term. The purpose for us is to be a witness, that we wouldn't just live isolated and quiet, hidden away with our nice little Jesus in the corner, but that we would take Jesus's in us to the marketplace, to the schools, and to the city. Because from the power comes the purpose. But then out of the purpose comes the third thing. The third reason why he sent the Holy Spirit is so that then we would produce. There would be produce out of our purpose. In 1 Corinthians 12, it details the spiritual gifts. This is two part, one spiritual gifts, one fruits of the Spirit. In terms of spiritual gifts, this is what the Apostle Paul writes in context of our produce, what we are producing from our encounter with God. He says here, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Somebody say good. Good. Say it like you mean it, say good.
Good.
To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge, to another faith, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, all these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and he distributes to each one as he determines. When we receive the baptism, the filling of the Holy Spirit, we are given spiritual gifts for a heavenly assignment. I don't know about you, but I just can't do this in my own strength. I can't. Don't know about you, can you be a Christian on your own strength? If you want an easy life, you don't follow God. You go do your own thing, have a nice time, see you later. It's hard following God, isn't it? In your own strength. But when you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, to time in his presence, time in the Bible, time in your secret place, time in prayer, something happens on the inside that is transformational. In part, it's transactional. Like Danny shared earlier, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. But the onus is on us. Draw near to God and then God will draw near to you. So if you want more of God, the answer is there. You gotta draw near to God. But out of the encounter with God comes the produce. Boldness like Peter to preach and lead 3,000 to faith in one moment. Confidence in the workplace to share your story. Breakthrough to turn from snares and traps of the devil. Words of knowledge to your family and friends. A spirit to overcome. And a speaking in tongues to build up our spirit and communicate with God. This is the produce that comes from the power. Today, through an encounter with the Holy Spirit, you can receive spiritual gifts if you flick the switch. But then, just as important isn't only the spiritual gifts, but is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 says this, "For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control." Church, we need an equal portion of fruit as we do gift. It's easy as Pentecostals, which we are in this church, to focus on the encounters of the Holy Spirit, focus on encountering God, focus on spiritual gifts. Yes, we love it. I've just spent 25 minutes talking about it. But we need the fruit of the Spirit. We love and joy and peace and kindness. That is the overflow of an encounter of the power of the Spirit of God. Let me tell you, this week, we had an incredible breakthrough. 3-4 weeks ago, we had very little to use for our big gift project at Christmas, where we give hampers to schools, to those that are very needy in the community. Last year, we done 560 luxury hampers at £15 a hamper. And our goal was 800 for this Christmas. And we were miles from it. But we started to pray, get creative, get innovative, chat to different parties and companies. And right now we're on track, church. Our goal was 800, but in the funds that we've received and are being projected to receive, we're now gonna be able to double that from 560 to about 1,200 hampers. And that's low end, favor of God. But I say that to say this. This week, Josh and I were meeting a Christian businessman. I guess in some ways, trying to pitch him the project, trying to see who would partner with what we're trying to do here. And at the end of the meeting, he committed to give an amount from their business towards our project, which literally is a miracle. But I was equally as touched from this man's act of kindness as I have been when I get a word of knowledge from church. Both are powerful. It's not either or, but it's both and. We need the gifts from the Spirit, and we need the fruit that overflows from the Spirit. Corrie ten Boom, an incredible Dutch author who harbored and hid Jews during World War II, she says this. She says, trying to do all the Lord's work in your own strength is the most confusing, exhausting, tedious of all work. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the ministry of Jesus just flows out of you. In fact, Paul in Corinthians, he puts it way better than I could. He says in 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. Can you imagine this kind of witness with me if we flick the switch? And so in work where it's easy to react, we begin to respond. In work where we should harbor a grudge, we begin to forgive. In work where we could be downcast and depressed because of the workload, because of an encounter with God, we then have a joy that is inexplainable, indescribable, and is a mounting, moving kind of joy. That comes from an encounter with the Holy Spirit. It's not either or, it's both and. We need equal gift as we do fruit. But all of this comes from the power of God that gives us our purpose, that then together we can produce. We can take this encounter, not just in this place, but into society and beyond. Can you imagine this kind of witness if all of us decide to flick the switch?
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.